When the pandemic started last year, most people were worried about keeping their jobs. But now, all over the world, workers are looking for ways to quit them. Associate Professor of Management Anthony Klotz has given this phenomenon a name. He calls it the Great Resignation. And the pandemic has forced many to reevaluate their priorities and how well their jobs fit in with them. It could very well signal the beginning of a major revamp of the office as we know it. Dr. Anthony Klotz from the Texas A&M Mays Business School joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
I've got to say, it must be a business school professor's dream, predicting a trend and naming it before it actually happens.
Yeah, that's right. It turned out to be a pretty good prediction, and so I'm stopping my predictions there while I'm ahead, that's for sure.
What were the signs you saw that change was coming?
Yeah, so I was observing four different signs here in the United States that made me feel like this great resignation may be coming. The first of which was that in 2020, the number of resignations dropped precipitously in this country and probably around the world. Not surprisingly, because of the layoffs in the economy, many individuals were staying in their jobs. And so I anticipated that many individuals who were in their jobs, had 2020 been a normal year, they would have quit, but they stayed in place because of the pandemic. And so I thought that if the economy ever improved and we made it out of the pandemic, people would enact their plans to leave. And so I thought there's probably just a backlog of resignations from 2020 and the pandemic. I also was observing a lot of reports, and these have come from across the world, that employee burnout levels were at all-time highs. And these burnout levels were high in all sorts of different sectors of the economy. And that could be frontline workers in the restaurant and food service industry. That could mean healthcare professionals. Also, individuals who are working from home and balancing childcare duties with their job. And so we know burnout is a key predictor of turnover. And so I anticipated that, again, if things started to improve, people would need a break. And in some cases, that break would come in the form of them leaving their jobs. A couple other things I was observing was what I would say falls under the umbrella of pandemic epiphanies. And you mentioned that you're on lockdown there. And so during lockdown, there is sort of a forced minimalism that comes along with it, where a lot of the things that we used to do with our lives, we aren't doing. And so we have time on our hands to think about life. And there's research that shows when illness and death and sort of fear of those things are near us, we tend to think bigger thoughts. Are we happy with how we're living our lives? Are we living the good life? And so individuals had time on their hands. In some cases, they were saving money. And so they had money on their hands and they were thinking about their life and reevaluating it. And so I was reading a lot of stories and talking to a number of individuals who were going through this. And it was clear to me, again, that people were planning all sorts of life pivots. And the last one is the one that gets a lot of attention. And we don't know how big of a factor it is yet. And that's not wanting to go back to the office. So individuals around the world have been working from home in many cases for 18 months. And 18 months is more than enough time to fully adjust to a new work arrangement. And in many cases, work from home provides us with much more freedom in terms of how we structure our work lives than working from the office does. And we know individuals have a fundamental need for freedom and autonomy. And so I just reasoned that some percentage of individuals were not going to give up this freedom willingly, and when called back to the office, would probably quit rather than do that. And so apologies for being long-winded, but I was sort of making those four observations. And my main research area is resignation, so how people quit their jobs, which is probably where the name Great Resignation came from. And that's what led me to the prediction that I made.
Yeah. And are the great resigners, are they across all demographics or is it a millennial thing?
So that the second question you ask, is it a millennial thing or is it maybe a Generation Z thing? My hypothesis kind of going into it was it probably was the younger generations. Now, we don't have great data on this here, but the conversations I've had over the past 4 months has caused me to reevaluate that thought. The organizations I'm talking to are seeing it across the board both in terms of generations of workers, as well as in terms of frontline workers versus senior management. So even seeing it in the senior management ranks, these individuals have a lot of times the financial ability to leave and go pursue an entrepreneurial venture or stay home with their family or what have you. And I think it's important to realize that for a lot of individuals who have worked at the same organization for a long time or who have been in the workforce for a long time, so our Generation X and boomers and beyond, you know, working from home gave them a break that in some ways that they may not have had for 20 or 30 years. And I think coming out of the pandemic, a lot of individuals later in their careers are saying, get me to early retirement, or can I reduce the hours that I'm working? Because this was kind of a refreshing change in my work life.
Are resignations contagious?
Yes. So there is a term that we study called turnover contagion. And one of the things that causes you to start thinking about turnover or employees to start thinking about turnover is something that happens in their personal or work life that causes them to reevaluate their situation. And so the pandemic in general was one of these things, but you can imagine it's pretty distressing to have a friend at work leave and work becomes less enjoyable for you when a friend leaves. And even if the person is not a friend who's leaving, it does make you think, what are they leaving to go for? Are they going for more money? Are they going for a better job? What am I missing out on? And so these thoughts of turnover and resignation start to enter employees' minds when someone close to them goes through that process.
And is there something else going on here? For many years, workers have complained about a power imbalance between them and their employers. But now, with shortages and workers apparently having more power, or at least more willingness to do things a different way, do you see that as addressing that power imbalance?
I think we're seeing at least a temporary shift in that power imbalance. And I'm not an economist, so I wouldn't want to predict where it goes long term. But you can just see, at least here in the United States, that companies are responding to this power imbalance by providing employees with better pay, better benefits, more time off, retention bonuses, and so forth. And so those sorts of perks and pay and things that organizations are providing here are definite signals to me that companies are trying to improve their position with their current employees and in the labor market in general, which would suggest to me that there's a current imbalance. And there's record job openings here in the U.S., the highest on record, which again, in many cases, would give employees more choice, which gives them more power than usual.
I'm talking to Associate Professor of Management Anthony Klotz about the Great Resignation. Anthony's from the Texas A&M Mays Business School. Did the pandemic just force the hand of a reimagining of the office, which was overdue? After all, the office hasn't changed much really since the Second World War.
Yes, I think that's a great point in terms of how long the traditional office has been in place. And I have felt like in many cases, organizations are seeing potentially one silver lining of the pandemic is that they can reimagine the world of work to some extent. They sort of have permission to be more innovative and think in terms of hybrid work systems and remote work systems. And clearly this is the biggest shift or shock to happen to the world of work, maybe ever, but definitely in a long, long time. And it's not difficult to think ahead and say, you know, 2 years ago, if you were looking for a job, the number of jobs that would allow you to work in a hybrid few days a week in the office or completely remote was a really small percentage of overall jobs. And I think every recruiter will now get questions from job seekers asking about these work arrangements. And so this fundamental shift has definitely happened.
What are some of the things that people dislike most about the traditional workplace?
So obviously it depends on the person and the workplace, but I think it's this being able to structure your day the way that you want. And so there's that autonomy piece. There's also lots of our friends and people that we like exist in the office, but there's also a lot of really unpleasant interpersonal interactions that happen in the office. So again, working from home, being able to choose a little bit more who you interact with on a daily basis can be more pleasant for some individuals. I'm not sure about elsewhere in the world, but in the US over the past 20 or 30 years, open office concepts have been very popular with companies, but less popular with employees who have trouble doing their work because they're being interrupted all the time and open offices are noisy and can be unpleasant. And then the final thing I'll say, which I've just started hearing in the last few months, and I think that it's really interesting, is from an inclusion perspective, a lot of employees are starting to report that working from home, they feel like they could be more of themselves and they could bring their whole selves to their at-home office. Yeah. Whereas when you come into the workplace, you have to act. You have to wear a certain clothes a certain way. You may have to wear makeup or your hair a certain way. And you might have to, a lot of the time, fake who you are for different reasons. And I think all of that faking is really depleting for a lot of us. And so getting away from that, and something that I think organizations should take seriously, is how do we create a space where employees don't have, can be their authentic selves?
Is there evidence, by the way, that working from home is less productive?
No, there is no evidence of that. And the debate right now isn't really around productivity. I think it's around innovation. And does the workplace, which allows people who don't normally come in contact with each other to come in contact with each other, and maybe that sparks innovation, does innovation suffer when people are working from home? There is some evidence that you only communicate when you're working from home with the people that you know really well. And so silos emerge in terms of communication more than in the workplace. But I can tell you there's probably hundreds of studies looking at this right now, and we'll know a lot more probably in 6 to 12 months in terms of the pros and cons of working from home.
Here in New Zealand, Unilever is trialing a four-day work week. Is that kind of dramatic change in the working week one of the possible outcomes of the Great Resignation?
Yes. So I think there are all sorts of questions going on about the work week, about the four-day work week, about 40 hours a week here in the U.S., because typically we haven't had a robust part-time job system here. Like, could people work 20 or 30 hours a week? And I like that Unilever, and I think Kickstarter is doing it too, that they're trialing the four-day week. And I think employees are probably a little bit refreshed by a company saying, hey, we're going to try this. We're going to look at how it works, and then we'll adjust accordingly. But getting back to your question, I think everybody's questioning what was magical about a five-day week that we stuck to it for so long. Because, well, look, we all love three-day weekends. And the more of those that exist, I think the happier people are going to be when they're at home and when they're in the office. So I hope more organizations follow Unilever's lead.
One thing the lockdown has done here in New Zealand, I think, and around the world, is it's laid bare the difference of experience between hourly workers, wage workers, and so-called white-collar workers. When we talk about the Great Resignation, should we qualify and say that it's really only for a certain class of worker that has more options?
So whenever you're talking about the ability to quit your job, there is a certain amount of privilege that goes along with it. And often this is financial. What are you going to do? And when we're talking about working from home, clearly there's lots of jobs where that just isn't an option. In person has to be there. So I think in some ways, the conversation about the Great Resignation, aspects of it are sort of exclusionary. There are certain groups that it might not be as applicable to others. And I've heard from people in the trades. I heard from one roofer who works on roofs, and he was like, it must be nice. I'm out there hammering away on people's roofs, and I see them inside working from home, all happy with their kids and that sort of stuff. And so I think there is a little bit of tension between those who are able to work from home and those who are not. That being said, things like burnout are pretty universal. The pandemic was stressful for different reasons on all of us. And there have been people, and I completely agree with them, who say, like, can't we just shut down the world for a couple of weeks and give everyone like a collective breather? And so I think there are some aspects of the Great Resignation that speak more to white collar than working class. But the reality is, and as more hybrid and remote jobs become available, there will be more opportunities for even people in blue collar jobs to say, do I want to go back to school and retrain so that I can have a remote option? And here, at least in the US, I think this is why you're seeing, it was first Walmart and Target announced that they're going to pay for the education of their employees, and Amazon just announced it as well. And so you see organizations starting to provide employees with more ways to improve their lives and get education, hopefully to stay with the company, I'm sure those firms are thinking, but also maybe to switch into to a more desirable work arrangement for that person.
What's your advice to employers who are the ones who are bearing the brunt of this, really? In what ways do they need to respond to the Great Resignation?
So organizations, at least the ones that reach out to me and that I've spoken with, are very anxious to say, how do we respond, not just because it's good for our business, hopefully, but also to help our employees flourish after this stressful event. And so I talked to them about a number of different things. And of course, when we're talking about the burnout that employees are facing, one of the solutions for burnout is allowing employees to psychologically detach from work in the evenings, on the weekends, when they're on vacation, maybe introducing sabbaticals. And so again, over here, we're pretty terrible at leaving our email on us all the time, even when we're on vacation, you know, leaving an out-of-office assistant that says, we'll check emails even though we're on vacation, and these sorts of things. And so it's up to organizations to help employees take a break from work. And there are a couple companies over here like Bumble, the online dating site, and Nike that have announced they're shutting down their operations for 2 weeks to just give everybody a break from email and be able to detach. And so dealing with burnout, that's one aspect of it. I think when it comes to working from home and some of the epiphanies people have had during the pandemic, you know, I'm encouraging organizations to have one-on-one conversations with their employees, because the challenge of the Great Resignation is there is not very many one-size-fits-all solutions to these problems. Organizations need to look at the constraints that they're facing due to the business that they're in and their customers. They need to look at their culture, and then they need to talk to their employees, and maybe just like Unilever is doing, develop an innovative sort of bespoke solution in terms of hybrid or four-day work week or remote work arrangements, and listen to employees and how they've changed during the pandemic. And if you have employees who are saying, we got to spend more time with our families and we don't want to give that up, it's up to organizational leaders to say, how do we sort of close that gap between the workspace and family? Maybe you introduce sabbaticals or some other solution so that employees can spend more time doing what they want to do. I think in general, companies need to make more room for other parts of employees' lives outside of work. And again, we've talked about some of those already in terms of maybe offering great part-time work, less than 40 hours a week, and some of these other solutions. The last thing I'll say when it comes to talking to organizations is, you know, there are a lot of people resigning right now, and some you're not going to be able to retain. But I do think a lot of employees who are leaving their jobs right now do just need a break and will be ready to re-enter the workforce, maybe in the same company in 6 months or a year or 2 years. And so I really encourage organizations to really roll out the red carpet for employees as they leave the organization and treat them well and say, hey, if in 6 months this doesn't work out, we will bring you right back because you're a great performer and we appreciate that. And so just giving employees the room to explore, and, you know, usually it's not a pleasant thing to let an employee go, and it can sometimes be frowned upon, but sort of shifting that attitude and treating them like an alumni of the organization is probably a better approach.
Yeah, and you suggest even checking in with them in a few months and saying, hi, we're still here. Let us know how you're getting on.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, a lot of us leave jobs because we think the grass is greener, there's a better opportunity, and we get over to that opportunity and the first few weeks are great. And then reality sets in and we say, wait, I think I just swapped out one set of problems for a new set of problems. And overall, I don't think this job is much better or the situation is much better. Yeah. And so giving employees a chance to say, I tested out the better option and it wasn't that much better, I'd like to come back. You know, that seems like it could be a win-win for the employee and the organization.
What a great chat. Love your brain, Anthony, and thank you for your time today. Dr. Anthony Klotz, Associate Professor of Management at Texas A&M Mays Business School. Great to chat. Cheers.
Cheers. It's been a pleasure.